When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the press. It's great to have you with us for our third episode of the week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We're going to talk today about the LPGA event, the T-Mobile Match Play, which has actually kind of gotten underway, but there's a reason I didn't talk about it yesterday, and we'll get into that. Then we're also going to talk about LIV Golf Miami, and we'll spend just a few minutes talking about the Club Car Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour, which is their resumption of their season. And then I just want to spend a couple minutes on some Masters futures just to get you out the door here. This is an audio-only episode. There's not a video version of this. There just wasn't really enough content to warrant making a short video, less than 10-minute video for this. So I just wanted to at least have this episode out there for those of you who are the audio podcast subscriber folks. Let's talk about the T-Mobile Match Play. It's underway in Las Vegas. It's a Wednesday to Sunday event. They changed formats last year. They went to a 36-hole stroke play qualifier that led to a very short field qualifying for the match play component of this. They have gone back to the way that it was after last year. I guess the players didn't like it, or I don't know. Maybe it just didn't work for TV. But they went back to the old format, which is like the old WGC Dell Technologies match play format of 16 four-person groups. You play round-robin matches in that four-person group. The winner of said group then moves on. They play a bracket-style single elimination tournament after that, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, et cetera, et cetera. The winners of those groups, that is. And then you'll play all the way down to a winner. There's no consolation match. They got rid of that, thank goodness, a couple years ago. That was kind of silly to force people to play another match. Just give them third place money. So they've done that. You have a really good field here this week. They're at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. Once again, this is a great match play golf course. You've seen it on TV multiple times between PGA Tour events, between this event, between the showdown and the match and all those different places. I really like Shadow Creek as a match play course. So you've got an interesting field, an interesting set of groups, and really the market for this event doesn't do a good job of pricing in much of anything. I that's kind of my problem with trying to recommend anything to bet about it, right? Because the pricing in the market isn't really reflective of anything. It's just like, because handles are so low on LPGA events, and that's a good thing for us because there's a lot of opportunity there, but because the handles are so low, they wind up really not adjusting anything when the brackets come out, for example. So we've got something here this week that is a little bit different, right? And then you wind up in a situation where you've got, it doesn't add up very easily. And so you've got all these different groups, and we kind of need to talk through what those groups are and then try to determine who you think can win based off of that. So you try to look at 16 different group winners. That's a big ask on a tournament without a whole lot of movement. So Nelly Cord is the number one seed. She's got Arya Jatanugarn, Jennifer Kupcho, Brittany Altomare. Brittany Altomare is like 400-1 to win. So you would think Nelly's probably going to win her group, but Jennifer Kupcho is a really annoying player in match play. She could win the group. Gino Tittical is number two. Haijin Choi, Gabby Lopez, 31-34 seed. Daniel Kang got in as a sponsor exemption, basically. And she's a local, she's an MGM person, so that's why she's in this thing. Gabby Lopez could win that group, but you would think Gino would. Again, kind of going at this group by group by group. You know, Lydia Ko's playing great golf, but Carlotta Sagan is really annoying in match play because she's slow as hell. So could she win the group? You know, you kind of have to go through this exercise of group by group, and we're not going to do that here. I don't think it's that worth it. I think if you're looking at a DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, they're the markets that they're the books that tend to have live LPGA odds. What I would say to you is let this play out a little bit. Get through today, watch today, see what happens. Even get through tomorrow if you can before you start thinking about live markets. Then on Friday, knowing that they're going to have a third round of round robin match play where probably about half the field will have nothing to play for and half the field has something to play for, you can kind of winnow out your potential winners and losers. And then you can maybe take some chances there. And then with the 16-player bracket set for the weekend, you have morning and afternoon matches on Saturday and Sunday to determine a champion. You can then kind of go in, lean in. You're not going to get great odds regardless. It's a relatively short field. I mean, unless something crazy happens, like someone 100-1 or longer gives you a chance to win, I don't think there's really a whole lot of value in betting this beforehand. So what I would say is watch, then decide. And if you have any questions about that, you need to hold me on social media at Ryan Ballingy, or email ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Especially if you're a Golf News Net member, I'll certainly expedite that to get answers back to you so you can make some timely bets, timely live bets over the course of the weekend. But it's an interesting tournament, something to have some action on, especially if your Valero Texas Open bets wash out quite a bit. Let's spend a couple of minutes on the Club Car Championship before we get to the live event down in Miami that starts Friday. Club Car Championship starts tomorrow, Landings Golf Club in Savannah, Georgia, 7th event of the year on the Korn Ferry Tour schedule, 7th of 26. We just finished our 5th episode of the Road to French Lick show talking about this tournament. And we were at this tournament last year, Brendan Sweeney and I, who co-host the show with me from French Lick Resort. It's a gorgeous facility. It's not particularly hard, but there can be a lot of wind that can make it an interesting tournament to play. The odds for this market are always interesting. They're also very low handle. I don't recommend a lot of wagers in this space for a variety of reasons, but it's kind of like the DP World Tour in that there's not a clear hierarchy. A lot of these guys are at about the same level. There are very rarely players who are so far ahead that they can be less than 20-1 to win. And so you get a lot of value, but you're taking a lot of guesses. And that's the DP World Tour in a nutshell too, which makes it fun, but frustrating. So a bunch of different options here this week. I think you've got some interesting choices to look at down the board. So Christo Lamprecht and John Kiefer are the two co-favorites at 22-1. Christo's had a great year so far. I have a good feeling he's going to get through that top 20 and get to the PGA Tour for next year. However, I don't like a John Kiefer necessarily here. I don't really understand why he's so high on this board. So I would look at Lamprecht as the potential favorite to play. You've got Adrien Dumont-Chassard, who's spending time anywhere he can play right now. DP World Tour, PGA Tour Oppos, this, just trying to find a way back to the PGA Tour. He's starting to play a little bit better, but I feel like 25-1 is just way, way, way too short for a guy that's kind of all over the place. You get Hank Lebioda at 30-1. He's 200, basically 200 points away already from guaranteeing a Korn Ferry Tour card for next year on the points list. We figured the number's about 1,000. He's got 800 and some. So, interesting play here. I think he tends to like windier places, tends to like tighter places. This kind of fits that pretty well. Pearson Cootie's been playing great. I think you got to like his chances here. Joseph Bramlett's really interesting. Played very well at the Puerto Rico Open. He's kind of going back and forth between whatever starts he can get on the PGA Tour and whatever he can do here. But of those three, I would probably like Lebioda and Cootie if you had to pick two out of the three. Then I would go down a little bit and go take a look at a Blades Brown. Finally figure out how to make a cut on the PGA Tour. He's playing pretty okay and pretty darn good for a 17-year-old kid. I wonder if he sees this as an opportunity to kind of lock up something for himself. Might be a worthwhile, interesting play. Rob Oppenheim played here last year very well. I think T4, 50-1, kind of interesting to look at. If you want to take some potentially deeper shots here this week, you're kind of challenged to do so because you're putting a lot of faith in guys that have probably lost PGA Tour cards or just fell short last year. But But I feel like Josh Teeter's played pretty well since winning in Panama, just kind of reinvigorated a little bit. 90-1 makes him interesting. I think Cole Hammer at 100-1 is kind of interesting. He's going to be on our next episode of the Road to French Lick show. We just did an interview with him. So, you know, there's some worthwhile guys to play. But again, caution here. You don't get much data. You don't get strokes gained data from the Korn Ferry Tour. It's really hard to analyze these guys to the extent that you would like. You get that on the DP World Tour. You can go make that kind of thing happen. So buyer beware, but if you want to sweat, those are the guys I would look at. And then I want to wrap up this episode by looking at LIV Golf Miami. They're at Trump Doral on the Blue Monster. This is one of those sites that LIV's had from the outset, basically, and it's probably their... It almost feels like their mini-major in a way because of the difficulty of the course. You've had Dean Burmester play well here. You've had Nguyen. You've had Sergio Garcia play well here and almost and nearly get the job done. He's played well this year. John Rahm 6-1. He hasn't played very well by that standard. Joaquin Niemann's won twice. He's 6.5-1. If you're going to pick a favorite, pick Joaquin Niemann. I mean, he's playing the best golf. They're both going to the Masters. So is Bryson. Bryson really hasn't showed up very well this year. Tyrrell Hatton's okay. I think Sergio Garcia is your other pick at 16-1. Likes the layout. Played pretty well this year. His fireballs team's doing well. He seems to really like that concept for whatever you think of Sergio Garcia. Seems to like that concept. David Pooj has kind of fallen off a little bit, so I'm going to back off of him. I do like Dean Burmester here at 22-1. I think that's an interesting price to pay. And then you get a little bit lower. Do you want to take a chance on like a Dustin Johnson, who has liked this venue in the past, but has had a very weird season where he's been DFL and he's contended to win in back-to-back tournaments? And that's LIV in a nutshell. So which guy is going to show up? Is the guy that won two majors and is going to go play next week at Augusta as a former champion going to show up? Or is the guy who seems like he's got one foot out the door with whatever's left of his LIV contract is going to show up? I'm willing to wager a little bit of money at 33-1 that the guy who has been world number one is going to show up. So I think he's an interesting play. Tom McKibben, I think, is also an interesting play. He seems to have handled himself quite well so far in LIV golf. 30-1 makes him at least remotely interesting to me. And then I may be interested in Jason Kokrak at 75-1. And the reason I say that is he earned himself an Open Championship start through the International Series, has been playing pretty well. It feels like there's a big gulf between some of the guys who play well on the International Series because they're playing so much weaker competition and here. And that's not saying that much because, I mean, LIV's a 10-guy league, and I still maintain that very much. But every once in a while, you can get a random breakthrough, and maybe Jason Kokrak is the guy to consider in that space. You do have the PGA Tour Champions this week. I'm not going to recommend anybody betting on that. That's up to you if you want to do it. But they are playing this week in Boca Raton, Florida. Miguel Angel Jimenez and Bernhard Langer are interesting plays. Steve Alker's in it every week. Jason Caron, who's played very well as a club pro out of the new upstate, New York area, he's an interesting play. Again, no convictions there, no analysis there, just some names to throw out based on what we've seen so far this season on the PGA Tour Champions. Now let's shift over to the Masters real quick just to get a quick market update. This is offshore book stuff. Of course, you can shop this stuff around, but as we've mentioned, there are really like 7 or 8 guys who can win this thing based on historical parameters. Now, if you want to throw that out the window and start getting a little funky and have a little fun, then do you care about a Rory McIlroy, who seems to be taking this quite seriously? Feels like he feels he can win this. Probably winning the Players goes a long way in helping. Probably a nice closing round in Houston helped him a little bit, but he went straight to Augusta afterwards. It's really hard to back him because he seems so snake bitten here, but 7-1 may not be the worst play in the world. I love Colin Morikawa. I've been telling people privately Colin Morikawa I like a lot. I know he has his struggles, but he is playing very solid golf. He is gaining a lot of strokes. He has played the majors well. I think he can do it. 16-1. Then you get down to like a Joaquin Niemann, who fits that bill of 1.5 strokes gained on average for the 3 months of the year so far, but it's on LIV. Never played well in a major. But he's 28-1, so if you feel funky, you know, maybe that's a guy to get down with. Hideki has been disappointing since the opening win, so I'm going to shy away from him. Shane Lowry, you know I'm going to be on him already. If you aren't already on him, you may want to do that soon, just real soon. Otherwise, you're going to miss that window. And then getting a little bit deeper in that, I do like a Sepp Straka play. I see him at 70-1 here. I saw him at 60-1 on a U.S. book. So depending on where you like to put your money, make it work. That could be an interesting play. Corey Connors at 80-1 kind of interests me. I feel like we're due. And I've been saying this for too long now. We're due for a random. We're due for an kind of out of nowhere major winner that either you didn't expect or didn't see coming. He's been playing good golf. Seems like the golf course might be an interesting play. Then you have to hope he doesn't win this week. The Texas Open, because otherwise he's toast. So maybe that's part of it. Maybe you want to look at someone like a Billy Horschel, who's played this golf course well in the past. Again, 165-1 is kind of fun. I'd rather go for a Taylor Pendrith at 185-1. Again, if you're trying to pick randoms, these are some randoms. These aren't guys that are heavy conviction plays or anything. But he could be interesting. I'm going to bet Daniel Berger for Quail Hollow. I probably am not going to bet him at the Masters, but same price. Kind of interesting. Aaron Rye, kind of interesting, although he wet the bed last week in Houston, screwed me in one and done, but that happens. So there's some interesting guys in that 185-1 range of this particular book. And then after that, I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone deeper than 70-1, 80-1 that you'd like really like you would think you put on a fantasy contest or your country club contest or whatever. You're going to struggle at that point. But just trying to throw out the names of some guys that I've kind of been thinking about that could be interesting, that are a little longer, that might be worth having for fun. Not necessarily they're going to get you there, because I still think our 7 or 8 guys is going to be the delivery point. But then the other thing to think about too, and this is kind of bankroll management to a degree, and if you bet once a year, then okay, whatever, then disregard this advice. But you want to have the top 10 after round one in pocket. And that is tough, because you're going to have to make some choices. You're not going to want to have 14 guys or 20 guys in pocket, right? The odds just aren't going to be good enough. But if you have most of the guys or a lot of the guys on that list of 1.5 strokes gained or better pre-tournament, you know, pre-flop, you've got them at better numbers. And then maybe you add a couple of guys, because we're going to throw out others, right? They're going to be guys in the top 10 who are like, they're too old, they're too young, they're a newbie, they're not going to win. You know, all the rules that apply classically to the Masters winner. And you'll throw some out, you add some guys. But you want to leave some bankroll for those guys who are not going to be long shots after round one. We know the books know, everyone knows, you got to be in the top 10. Their prices are going to get shorter. The best you're going to find after round one is probably 25-30-1 on someone you'd be willing to take a chance on. So just keep that in mind. Keep that bankroll parsed out, ready for some live plays or after round one plays. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thank you so much for listening or watching, for particular listening to this episode. Catch us on your podcast platform of choice. If you're an audio-only person, and you have to be if you're listening to this, then you may also want to consider subscribing to our YouTube channel, Golf News Net Radio, which is just podcast versions of our audio shows. We do video versions of this show, but it's just audio version. You can take it on the go with you. It's pretty friendly in that regard. So just search Golf News Net Radio. You'll find that. And then you can subscribe to our Golf News Net video channel. You can also find us on the Golf News Net app for Roku. And Golf News Net TV is on that app, as well as on Freecast, Zeem, and Free Live Sports. Back with a full slate of shows dedicated just to the Masters next week. Cannot wait. Biggest week of the year. Biggest golf betting week of the year. Let's get into it. Let's make some cash. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week on The Press. Good luck with all your bets this week.